Thank y'all for that good singing. All right, look in your Bibles to the book of Mark today. Mark chapter number 2. And a joy to be here looking for what God has for us in His Word today. And I'm thankful for the Word of God, how it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it will help us if we allow it to. Let it get into our hearts and work in our lives and change us for His honor and for His glory. Amen. Mark chapter 2, you're well and able to stand this morning. We'll read the first 12 verses of this chapter, and then we'll pray and try to preach as the Lord would direct our heart. And I say again, thank you for visitors being in the house of God. And we're just grateful you're here. You made a choice in being here. And then our folk, our members here, we're glad you made your way here. I tell you, you'll miss out by missing the house of God. Amen. And so I'm thankful we are gathered together today. Mark chapter number 2, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Mark chapter 2 and beginning in verse number 1. Bible said, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where it was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why did this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for being long-suffering toward us. Oh, Lord, I ask you now for a little while, help us, oh God, that our hearts and minds be open to the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, may we this morning allow you to so work in us, remove any evil thing, remove any hindering thing out of our life, and help us how to be filled with thy spirit. Help us, Lord, Lord, to have you first place in our lives, that we'd bring glory and honor to your name. I ask you for that, and it's lost here today. Lord, we cannot save. We're not able of ourselves. But Lord, I ask you that by thy spirit, you'd convict them, show them their lost condition, they'd run to you and be saved. Help us as your people, may backsliders get back in fellowship. Help the people of God who are serving you, laboring for you, how to have strength to go another mile. And Lord, everything that you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 12 this morning, where how to bring our thought from, where the Bible says that, and immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I'm to preach God helping me just a few minutes on this subject of how to see what this generation has not seen. How to see what this generation has not seen. Most of us here today, a large percent of us have been saved for a number of years, and God has allowed us to be in services where God would so manifest Himself that our sinners would tremble under conviction and would run to an altar and repent and be saved. Some of us here have seen great measures of revival in the local church where God would so stir up a local assembly that we would be the soul winners He left us to be. And boy, we'd get in the services and worship, and God would do great things, and God would hear and answer prayer. But we've raised a generation today that hasn't seen all that. They've heard us talk about it. They've heard the testimonies. They've heard the illustrations in the sermons. But they themselves have never seen what some of us have seen in days gone by. I've been asked many times in 8 months, Pastor, what's your goal? What direction are we going? What are your plans for the church? I want to tell you, I believe what needs to be done is to return to some old paths and walk therein. We need to get back where the church has been in its heyday and serve God and glorify God. Oh, we need God to manifest Himself. Oh, revival's the answer in this day. You say, preacher, you preach too much on revival. No, I don't. Because I'm telling you, that is it. That's the answer. Amen. Hey, there's families having trouble. You know how to fix it? Revival. Amen. Hey, there's people who's struggling with things in their life. You know what to fix that? Revival. And I'm not talking about a meeting, and I'm not talking about something you plan out. But I'm telling you, we have seen things in days gone by. And here's the good news. God has not changed. Amen. He's the same as He's always been. He is almighty. He is all powerful. And He can still do great and mighty things. Oh, friend, I know it is to see sinners fall under deep conviction. I've seen some. I try to leave when a service is dismissed and have to run back in the building and get saved. I've seen it happen on the back row. Heard it and saw it at the altar. Seen it in the parking lot in days gone by. These young people have never seen that. That's right. Oh, my heart desire is that we'd be the church that God can bless and use and a generation to come will know something about the power of God. Amen. Oh, friend, today I'm glad He's not just the God of the past, but He is God of the present. Amen. There are those talking today across our land that it's hopeless, it's over, but as long as God rules and reigns, it ain't over. And I got good news there. There'll never be a time that He won't rule and reign. Amen. If we as God's people have turned to Him, my friend, there'll be some amazing things can happen. Yes, in this day. Amen. Oh, I began looking in this text on Thursday and been meditating on it since then. There's five things I see that cause some things to be amazing for them to leave and say, we never saw it on this fashion. Well, how can our generation coming on see what they've never seen? Well, can I say first of all in verse 1, the Lord must be in the house. That's what that Bible verse said. Look at it. And again, He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that He was in the house. Now, I'm glad for every visitor. I'm glad for every member this morning who is present in the house of God. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to have church unless the Lord is present. Somebody said, now, preacher, don't you know enough theology to know He lives in our heart and He's always here? Yeah, but He don't always manifest Himself. And there is a difference in that manifest presence and His abiding presence. Oh, friend, that manifest presence is what sets that service aside and apart. Amen. That's what happened last Sunday in the services. That was the manifest presence of God. Amen. Hey, when the Lord's in the house, then things can happen. We got churches across America today who are having services and they don't even understand, don't even recognize that the Lord's not in their midst. He has been grieved. He has been quenched. And they're having church as usual. I'm not interested in the norm. Amen. I'll tell you something. I've been saved too long, seen too much to be satisfied with a status quo. How about what God can do? Amen. Hey, by the way, when he's in the midst, you won't need a billboard. Amen. You won't need a t-shirt. Amen. Because it'll just get noised abroad. The Lord is in the house. Oh, yeah. He's an unmistakable presence. Somebody's, I've been asked before, preacher, explain that manifest presence. Explain the anointing. I can't. But I know when it's there, and I know when it's not. Amen. We're at his mercy. He is sovereign and free, and he must be in the midst. He must be the center of attention. Our problem in this day is we can't get our minds slowed down enough to focus on him. Our minds running in a million different directions at one time. Would you agree with that? Fred, I know I mentioned social media. Some of you may think I hate all of it, but I'm not against it. It can be used for good. But it's made a slave out of a lot of folk. Amen. There are people in churches can't even sit through a service without having to check their phone. Why you even got it on? Amen. What you bringing in here for? Well, preacher, what if somebody falls over? You ain't never heard of a landline? There are three back here. Amen, at least three. But we old preacher, somebody may come. Who do you know that don't know you're in church? Amen. I mean, I know most folk figure since I'm pastor, I got to go. But I tell you what, that's been years. I ain't always pastored, but ain't nobody ever called me during them hours of 10 to 12. They knew that's useless. Amen. I ain't never been given a text because I'm not looking for a text in church. What are you here for? I'm here to look at him. Amen. He must be the center of our services. Hey, our singing's to be centered around him. Our praying's to be centered around him. Our preaching to be centered around him. He must be in the midst. Had the Lord not been in that house, nothing would have happened. Amen. It wasn't the disciples that did it. Amen. It wasn't the crowd. Amen. But it was the fact that the Lord was in the midst that made the difference. Amen. Hey, if we're going to let this generation see the power of God of days gone by, then the Lord must be in the midst. We find in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1 how that he is walking. It said he walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He is active. He is inside the church. But when you get to Laodicea in chapter 3, he's outside knocking. That means he's at the wrong place. Hey, before you get nervous, it ain't his fault. Amen. He didn't take himself out. He got ushered out. Amen. A lot of churches, they're only interested in him if they're needing money for a building program. They're only interested in him being in the midst if somebody dear to them sick. Amen. Or if just their children's lost. Amen. But he don't need outside, he needs inside. Amen. We need to welcome the Lord to our services. He needs to be the center. He needs to be in control. How about what Brother Jeff prayed a while ago, don't you? Lord, we've got a program. We've got some things lined up because God's a God of order. I don't think church is supposed to be chaos. You'll never convince this preacher God intended for church to be chaos. Because God don't do anything in chaos. He's a God of order. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes our plan, he wants to go a different route. So we lay our plan aside and go with what he's saying for the service. Amen. That's right. Hey, we want Him to be in control. Every Sunday, every service, before I come in, I pray and ask God to take over. Help us to follow Him. I want to have an ear for the Lord. Amen. Oh, we see if we're going to, this generation is going to see what we've seen, then the Lord must be in the midst. Let me say secondly in verse 2, not only the Lord must be in the midst in verse 1, but the Word must be preached. For verse 2 said, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. Here it is. And He preached the Word unto them. Oh, the need of this day is Bible preaching. Amen. It is not storytelling. I know we have the modernist type churches in our area. They're everywhere. And man, I was in a meeting yesterday morning and heard a preacher made mention that someone told him about a family member goes to a church. They said all our preacher does is give 3 15-minute talks. And he'll put a Bible verse to somehow relate what he talked about. That ain't preaching. That ain't Bible preaching. Bible preaching is taking a text and seeing what God has to say. Amen. We know what I read to you. This is interpretation, just this. It's a miracle that our Lord performed in His earthly ministry. But what I'm preaching is how can it apply to us today? What lesson can we draw from it today? That's the Word of God being preached. Amen. Oh, friend, the Word of God needs to be preached more now than it's ever been preached out before. He told Timothy, Paul did, to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Oh, friend, we're in a day that, as he went on to say, that they've got itching ears. For they're getting those teachers together. Now, I'll tell you something. Listen to me. I want to be able to get the Word of God that I preach. I want to be where a child can understand me. And I want to give somebody that's an intellectual something that'll stimulate their thinking. That's right. Preaching's got to do all that. Are you hearing me? But understand this. It's not my word. Amen. It is God's word that is going to touch the heart. Amen. If all we do is leave the service and all we know is the jokes that we're told, what good's that? Amen. If all we know is who was there and who wasn't there, what good is that? Amen. But when this Bible's preached, it'll pierce our hearts. It'll challenge our life. It'll
and they came come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. They were working together. There was unity among these four people. Amen. Hey, there wasn't one trying to drag him in that house. There wasn't even two just dragging him. They had four. I tell you what, it's easier for four than it is one. It's easier for four than it is two. And three kind of gets kind of offside. Amen. Oh, you see, they worked together. There was unity. To get this one man to Jesus, they bound together and said, whatever it takes, we're getting him in there to Jesus. You know, that's what we're here about. We're not here choosing who's in charge. Amen. We've come that we would worship him, but we have come to bring others to the Savior that saved us. Amen. Hey, friend, we find the Bible tells us over there in Psalm 133 and verse 1, behold, how good and how... There's no unity in that. Man, to be united brings prosperity. It brings fruit. Amen. But hey, division tears down. Amen. Hey, you see, there was cooperation. Now, eye to eye. Ain't no way. I changed my mind about myself half a dozen times in a day. Amen? That's right. Hey, you married? You ain't always seeing eye to eye that one you're married to. When it is, it's great. When it ain't so great. Amen. But cooperation, amen, working together makes the difference in a marriage. Working together makes a difference in a church. Amen. Hey, I'm not always going to be at the spot you want me at that time. Nor will you. Amen. But what we do? We're doing our part. Amen. I'm going to get my corner. You get your corner. You get your corner. You get your corner. And let's work together. Amen. Could you imagine these four individuals when they got this man with the palsy on that bed? Hey, if all four of them decided one time, I'm going left, I'm going right, I'm going full, going, they throw the dude in the floor. Amen. He'd been eating dirt. That's right. But as they worked together, they got him to Jesus. You understand, they didn't go in the door. Hey, that'd been pretty simple, pretty easy, would it not? They had to get up on the roof. You imagine four, hey, could you imagine trying to get them that dead weight? He can't help them. They're pulling with all they got. All four of them pull their side. Carrying their load. If they don't, he ain't getting on that roof. Amen. Get away back to church, I'll never be strong if we ain't united and working together. You say, preacher, something going on? In me later trying to get over something. Amen. Hey, cooperate, being united in the work to get others to Christ. Amen. Our goal is to get people to Jesus. Hey, being dedicated to it. There was dedication. Hey, could you imagine now, if it had been most Baptists of our day when they got to the door and they couldn't get in, they said, too bad, Charlie, you out of luck. Amen. They'd say, hey, can't get in there. We just take you home. That'd be it. But no, they didn't. They was dedicated to getting that man to the Lord. Do you know sometime when we're working on sinners, sometime we pray for them and witness to them and they get saved quickly. But there's others that we pray and we witness to and we try to live in front that days and months and years go by that we invest in getting them to Christ. Amen. Being dedicated to that. Oh, that determination. Let nothing stand in the way. Let's get him to Jesus. That was their thing. Hey, the Lord must be in the midst. The word must be preached. There must be unity in the word. Let me say this, and I'm trying to hurry. Number four in verse four, the hindrances must be removed. For verse 4 says this, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the ring where it was. After they had broken it up, they went down the bed where the sickle of palsy lay. There was some veins, it was 20 feet, and the Lord had said, we're getting rid of them, where they don't keep us from getting this man to Jesus. Here's where we are in the modern day church. We can probably get through point one, two, and three. I'd say most everybody's been in agreement with what I have preached thus far. But to say I'm going to get the hindrance in my life out, that's a different story. We're so busy seeing something in our brother's eye. Amen. A splinter. And we can't tell a whole beam's in ours. Amen. Hey, I say this. I don't want nothing in my life hindering a sinner from getting to the Lord. I don't want anything in my life hindering this church from getting what it needs from the Lord. Amen. But we've all got to do that. Amen. You realize it just takes one. Just takes one hanging on to something, and it can disrupt the whole service. Hey, the Bible's full of illustrations like that. Old Achan was like that. He's the only one that took the gold. He's the only one that had the garment. But it defeated the army of God. Amen. Hey, we find that those hindrances, what was between them and the Lord, they got it out of the way and got that man to Jesus. I'm going to say this, and you hear me well. Cliques are always getting in the way of getting people to Jesus. Amen. Hey, I don't have no favorites around here. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. I don't. We're here working together. Amen. I'm pastor, and God's put a responsibility on me. Hey, I love all of you the same. I'll fellowship with anybody in this church who wants a fellowship. That's exactly right. I'm not going to run with just one crowd. Amen. I'll be real honest. I'm a click buster. I can't stand them. That clicking and clacking gets on my nerves. Say amen, nod your head. We're the body of Christ. We're one. We're not many, we're one. Amen. Hey, I don't want nothing in my life, don't want nothing in your life that would hinder us from getting to the Lord. Amen. Hey, what about an unforgiving spirit? I tell you, a lot of folk don't realize how that's hindering them. You just can't let go of something. You just won't say, I forgive. You just won't. Hey, that unforgiving spirit has bound you up. Amen. Hey, I'm preaching on real sin. Some guys get preaching on sin. They're against you breathing, drinking water. But I'm going to preach what the Bible calls sin. And it's wrong to have an unforgiving spirit. Amen. You're just binding you up and binding those around you up with it. Hey, bitterness. Bitterness is hindering folk in our day. Amen. Hey, their feelings. I'm going to tell you something. I don't carry my feelings in the church. I lay them down. This is a Baptist church. Somebody knock them off. Nod your little heads like this. Amen. We've all at one time carried our feelings on our shoulder. Somebody not, boy, we're all hurt and we're all tore up. Amen. You can't do that in church. Our feelings got to be pushed aside. It ain't about us no how. It's about us bringing glory to the Lord, about getting sinners to the Lord. That's what it's about. Amen. Oh, friend. Hey, pride hinders us. I want to say this because some of you, a lot of folk, boy, I liked it like this past night. Man, folk were testifying so quick. I had four and five wanting to jump at one time. I like it. Now, I know some maybe didn't get to jump up because of that. But hey, I'm glad they wanted to. Amen. But some of you didn't because you just too afraid what folk was going to say. So you just sat there. And you've wallered it all week. Amen. You let your pride keep you from soundness. I know, well, thank God I'm saved. Amen. Pride's a great enemy of the child of God. Amen. Hey, not all, but what about a rebellious spirit saying, I'm not going to do that. Amen. I like that, but I don't like that preaching. Well, we got to take all the Bible. Amen. It's not a book of suggestions. It is a book of commands. Amen. Oh, friend. Hey, maybe it's being unsubmissive. Hey, that's what it is. But whatever's hindering you, you need to get it out of the way. Amen. I'm not going to go around trying to figure out your problem and trying to get the hindrance out of your. I'm trying to take care of me. I have a full-time job keeping me straight. Amen. Hey, what could be hindering some of you is you're a busybody. Yeah. Busybody go to church. They go to work too, and they go to school. So don't say, well, I ain't going back to that church. Well, you're going to school with them, you work with them, you go to Walmart with them. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But busybody, I ain't got time to keep up with you. I ain't going to keep you straight. I can't do it. That helps me sleep at night when I finally learn I can't make nobody do nothing. You said you sleep well? You better believe it. I used to, didn't, but son, I can peel the paint off the wall snoring now. Amen. When you just find out God's got to do it and you take care of you staying in line, hey, it'll be a happy day in your life too. Hey, teachers, you can't make that class come every Sunday. You just learn to teach those that show up. You tell the ones that don't, I missed you, I love you, and you pray for them. But other than that, you just keep teaching that book. Amen. Hey, I can't make anybody in this building be faithful to church. Can't do it. I'm going to preach you the gospel while you're here. I'm going to tell you I love you. I'm going to pray for you. But I can't make you do anything. Amen. We've got to take care of those things that are hindering us as individuals. Then let me say this lastly. I won't spend much time, but I'm about done. Not only the Lord's got to be in the midst, His word preached, and we need to work together, be unity. We got to get here and say, wait, but number five, in verse five, there must be faith. For the Bible said when Jesus saw their faith, I really want to know what that charismatic bunch does with this verse. You ever heard any of that crowd talk about that word of faith? Sowing that seed of faith. They want your $100 bill. I had a preacher buddy of mine one time, was watching one of them fellas on TV. And that fellow said, send me the biggest bill you got. He did. He sent his phone bill to him. Amen. That's right. Oh, they'll tell you, hey, if you don't get healed, you just ain't had no faith. That boy didn't get healed because of his faith. Did you see that in that It wasn't that man's faith that made him whole. It was the faith of those four. Amen. Hey, Gateway, we'll never see the full manifest presence and power of God like we want to see if we don't believe Him. Amen. We'll help you with something. What was the sin that kept the children of Israel out of Canaan? That's right, unbelief. It wasn't the giants. Amen. It was their unbelief. Because God let them know, I'm giving you the land. I'm going to give you vineyards you didn't plant. Houses you didn't build. I'm giving them to you. All they had to do is believe God. And they didn't believe God. They got so busy looking at the problem of them giants and all. Their unbelief took over their life. I'll tell you something, when we pray sometime, we don't pray in faith. Amen. And I want to read you something because it's still in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I'm reading it. I could quote it, but I'm going to read it to you. He said, but without faith, it is impossible. Boy, that's a powerful word, ain't it? It's impossible to please Him. For they that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We got to believe God. Amen. Hey, I know sometimes we have to pray, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Amen. Yeah. We're all like, we have times where our faith is small, or sometimes non-existent. That's right. But we're going to have to learn faith is what can move a mountain. Amen. That ain't charismatic preaching. That's Bible preaching. Amen. Hey, by faith, Abraham did what he did. By faith, Isaac did what he did. By faith, Joshua did what he did. All of those people did what they did by faith. Amen. You see, faith is the foundation for everything in the Christian life. That's right. You can't get saved without faith. You can't serve without faith. Hey, we've got to believe God today. Amen. Hey, I want a generation that's coming on to experience what I experienced and you experienced in days gone by. Now, I know this, and I'm done. Hear me. I know God don't repeat himself. And you heard, but he doesn't. He doesn't reheat nothing. I know sometime we have a good servant. We'll come back next year. We want that same exact service. He ain't going to do it. He going to do something fresh. He got something new for that service. And if we'll just learn to come say, Lord, whatever you got for me today, help me to get it. Amen. Whatever it may be. Hey, some services, man, we run real high. It gets real good. Other service, we kind of a little calm, a little quiet. And that's okay. I want to tell you what, we just need to believe God. Amen. And I believe God wants to do something for us right here at Gateway. I believe, hey, God ain't dead. God ain't gone out of business. Hey, God ain't took his hand off of. This thing's a rolling. It's a going. Why, God's in control. And if we'll stay in that way with him, it's going to work fine. Amen. Want to do his bidding. Father, I pray you take this message, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to preach what you laid upon my heart this morning. Lord, help us to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against thee. And Lord, everything you do, we praise you and we give you glory for it. Oh Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach to you what the Lord laid on my heart for days now. I do. My heart for Gateways that we go forward, do great things, see great things. But a lot of it will hinge on what we do ourselves as individuals. I've tried to preach to save folk, but let me say this to those that are lost this morning. Maybe you slipped in here and you're not saved. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day that you could be saved. You don't have to go to hell if you get born again. And he wants to save you. Those of us who are saved, let's live our life that others can see Christ in us. That when people come on the church property, the power of God is sensed. When we get in the services, God's manifest presence is already seen. From the opening note of the music to the final amen, God's presence ought to be real at Gateway Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you, folks can sit at home and be bored. People can sit at home and get an artificial high. But what they need is the Lord Jesus. Because he's the one to make the difference in their life. Let's stand this morning. What are we singing, my brother? All right, this altar's open. You need to come, come. Oh, my duck come. It's okay. I preach what the Lord told me. This is your time to do something.